Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm Az from FPL Black Box.
So as chips aplenty this week, wildcard buttons were pushed, assistant managers were in play, and we are entering a key part of the FPL season, doubles and blanks coming up over the next few weeks. We are here, however, to discuss this weekend's action and how it might affect those plans. And with both Brighton and Liverpool both losing, we're going to do our absolute best to bring you the positivity. How was game week 31 for you?
I think we will bring some positivity to this pod,
yes,
Lee, because we've both had decent game weeks for a change.
on this pod.
Awful week for our teams. Obviously, Brighton, key part of the season for my team. Three losses effectively in the last week.
Real bad form.
Yeah, and that's probably the season done for us. But my own FPL team is having a little bit of a resurgence. And I was a bit worried going into the game last night. I did have three Newcastle players. But Livramento and Murphy both coming through. I mean, 27 points between them. And I hadn't captained Isak, and he blanked, and he would have caused me harm. So it was the perfect result for me.
Who did you captain then? Salah, right?
Yeah, I went for Salah. I couldn't believe it. You know, Salah blanking, Isak blanking. I don't really know of anyone that got any points from their captains. It was a really, really funny week.
It was an odd one. I noticed a stat actually on X. I saw that the top five captained players all blanked in game week 31. So Salah was captained by 5.2 million, 2 points. Isak, 1.2 million, 2 points. Palmer, Mamouche and Watkins, all with around, let's see, Palmer about 500,000, Mamouche a 250,000, Watkins about the same. 1, 2 and 2 points respectively. So yeah, all the big players blanking.
Wow. I mean, if there's anyone listening to this that went for someone, you know, a Brennan Johnson or a Murphy or someone like that, this was the week, because the gains you could make this week were incredible. And yeah, fair play. If you did, I mean, I'd considered, I think, four of those players that you mentioned. I had it, you know, I was chopping and changing between Salah, Isak, Marmoush, everyone, but didn't make any difference in the end anyway.
No, totally. So what points did you end up on? Where were you?
I ended up on 65 points.
All right.
Which was pretty good. Like I said, I had Livramento and Murphy coming through, Eze, Mateta, Vardiol coming in. Not much elsewhere. No clean sheet for the Arsenal goalkeeper. Kirkez has been really disappointing since I brought him in as well. Just 1 point for him. Palmer obviously being benched. And then Mo Salah and Isak both blanking. And I'd say out of the whole team, I was probably most confident that those two would get something. And in the end, it was the lower price players who came in.
Yeah, totally. And was it a chip week for you, Az? Were you wildcarding, or was that was last week for you, no?
Yeah, wildcard last week. It was a slightly poor start to that, but made up for it this week because I didn't own any of these players
Absolutely.
Who actually performed for me today. So yeah, game week rank of 135K, I'm up to 282K. I've got some chips left. I'll be playing my bench boost this week, hopefully pushing on into the top 100K before the end of the season.
Nice. Very, very good. Well, 71 points for me this week. So like you, a big green arrow. Very, very happy with that. Supercharged by my assistant manager chip. And maybe we'll have that conversation in a second as to where I might go. And I'd love to get your thoughts on where I might go with the assistant manager. I played it on Thomas Frank this week.
Wow.
I fancied Brentford at home to Chelsea, given that Chelsea had one less day to prepare for that game. In the end, it was a little bit of a non-event. And you know what? When I saw the Chelsea lineup, because there was a lot of rotation there for Maresca, I thought, I've picked the right manager here. Here we go. Table bonus galore. And in the end, it could have swung both ways. And I can tell you, for anyone that's played the assistant manager chip and has been in this situation where, you know, one goal either way, I mean, if Brentford score, it's dreamland because I'm on table bonus and it's, you know, maybe 16, 18 points, something like that. But if Chelsea score, of course, you know, my 10 points that I got, which I was pretty happy with in the end from Thomas Frank, gets wiped out almost completely because they lose. So one goal either way was a massive swing, even in just 1 week of the three of the assistant manager. So, yeah, I know when Palmer flashed that one over the bar right at the end of that game, I was squirming in my chair, I can tell you, really squirming. But 71 points overall, like you say, it was the Newcastle boys really that were the stars of the show. That first goal at the King Power last night where Livramento assisted Murphy, I think even that must have taken 60 to 70K off my rank because I had both of those players. Elsewhere, Munoz come in with the goal, didn't he? Which was great. Mateta in with the goal too. And then Diaz come in with a five because of that early booking in the Manchester derby. But overall, 71, pretty good. I guess the decision I've got to make now, before we get into the games, I'd just love to get your thoughts quickly on, for those that are playing the assistant manager like me between 31 and 33, that was the period of time I think I was always going to play it. Where do I go now? Because I've got double game week fever, I think, in my head. And I think we're all going to see double game week fever kick in over the next week or so with Newcastle and Crystal Palace both doubling in game week 32. So I probably need to go to one of those two guys. But there are some other good fixtures for teams that are, you know, where I would could potentially be a little bit more safe and not play the double game week. So what do you think? Assistant manager for next week.
Yeah, have you got the three Palace and the three Newcastle already?
I have. And I'm quite happy to have those six players in play. And if I was to move Frank to either Eddie Howe, which again is a difficult one to do because I would need more money to move to Eddie Howe. Thomas Frank's only 0.8 and Eddie Howe's 1.5. So I'm probably priced out of that. So if I am going to move it to one of the double game weekers, it's probably got to be Glasner. It's probably got to be Crystal Palace. Mm. So therefore, I am looking at the single game weeks and not trying to overlook those guys. And yes, if I was going to move it to Glasner, I'd have to take out Munoz, Sarr or Mateta. And I don't like doing either. I don't like doing any of those moves, to be honest with you.
No, I think for Palace, I like the three of Munoz, Eze or Sarr and Mateta. I like those three for the 2 weeks. I think, you know, looking at it without the three players from one team rule, I think Glasner is the best option. He's the best one you can pick. But I'd want those three. So it kind of rules out that chip being played on him for me. I think you have to go for Emery, right? We don't know which players are going to start for Villa. You know, there is so much rotation going on. Rashford missed out again. We don't know if Dean's going to play. Asensio's in and out of the team. Watkins, there's no one, apart from Rodgers, really, who we know is going to start alongside probably Martinez. And Emery's got Southampton. That's surely an easy extra load of points.
You'd hope
for
so.
Him.
Yeah.
A double game week with games, which I think they could do quite well in. So that's where I'd be looking. I'd be putting on Emery, I think.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, let's start with that in terms of the games for this week, because I think Kelly, Jules and Sam will definitely be talking more about the assistant managership and where those that have got it in play might want to play it in game week 32. But let's take a look back then at the weekend's action. Let's start with Aston Villa. A team in form, of course, but yeah, they will have one eye on that big doubleheader against Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. You're right, Emery did make 8 changes this week, but as you say, Martinez, Rodgers and Tielemans were the three players that survived that cull. In fact, they are the only players that have not been benched at all in the Premier League this season for Aston Villa. So yeah, when we're looking at Aston Villa players, particularly in that midfield, because I have an envious eye at the likes of Asensio and Rashford, and even Daniel Marlon got on the score sheet. 0.1 he is percentage owned in FPL, by the way. So what a differential if you were going to go in on Marlon. A bit of a expected minutes risk potentially, but I interestingly note that Marlon isn't in the Champions League squad for Aston Villa. So you'd like to think that he's going to get the start against Southampton and probably going to get some minutes, you'd think, in the double game week as well. So how do you assess the Aston Villa midfield as? Do you go for a bit of an expected minutes risk in an Asensio or Rashford, who in my mind have got a little bit more expected goal involvement threat? Or do you go for Marlon, who's not in the Champions League squad? Or do you just go for tried and tested and go for Morgan Rodgers?
Well, it's tough to pick. I've spent far too much of my time, I'd like to admit, on trying to work out the best Aston Villa assets. Because the job is they're doing things in the right way. They're using this big squad they've got. They've got great options, you know, all over the pitch. We're seeing other teams try and do that. We saw it with Chelsea against Brentford. It didn't really work out for them when they brought in other players. It hasn't worked out with some of the Brighton's fringe players as well when we brought those in to the team. You know, Arsenal have lost Gabriel and, you know, we worry about their defensive acumen going forward. So of all the teams in the league, I think Aston Villa are utilising that squad in the best way, which really isn't great when we're trying to pick our players for them. You know, they're still managing to compete in the league. And they've still got the Champions League as well. So they need that. They need that squad. If you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said Rashford.
I think, same.
The fact he was paying up. The fact Watkins is back now and Emery's all but confirmed he's fit and ready to go. I just wonder where Rashford's going to play. He's just missing too many games for me, Rashford. And he's playing really well. It's not like he's made himself undroppable because he's still getting dropped. Well, you know, dropped or rested.
He's starting on the bench, isn't he? And coming on and having an impact. But, you know, starting on the bench is not what we want in FPL.
And it's the same with Asensio. It's like he's getting the minutes so that he can unleash them in the Champions League game, and you know things will change when if and when they go out to PSG. Although it should be an exciting game. I think Rodgers is the one for me. He just isn't getting dropped. He isn't getting rested. He isn't getting rotated at all. He's proved that he's fit enough to play almost every minute of every game for Villa, and Emery's made him pretty much the key man in the side. I think he's definitely the obvious one for me.
Yeah, his energy is unbelievable. He's been so good for us in FPL this season. And I suspect when we get to game week one of next season, we're going to see a bit of a price hike for him, I would have thought. The kind of the paradox for me, if you like, is, and I think one of the big questions that FPL managers will be asking is, are you going to be bench boosting in either game week 32 or 33? And the reason I ask that question is because if you are, I think you want to go for the player that's, in inverted commas, guaranteed the minutes. You want to go for the Morgan Rodgers, right? Because you're going to be bench boosting. You want your players to be starting. You might not go for Rashford because, as you say, he's been starting on the bench recently. You know, ditto Asensio. So I think you go for Rodgers. But for those of us, and I count myself in this, because I'm playing the assistant manager between 31 and 33, I'm locked out. I cannot play the bench boost, right? I can't play the bench boost in 32, 33. That is going to come later on in the season for me. That is tomorrow's problem for another podcast, right? So therefore, I look at it and I go, well, maybe can I take a little bit more of a risk? Maybe I can go with an Asensio. Maybe I can go with a Rashford. Or maybe, given that he's not in the Champions League squad, can I go with a Donyell Marlon? I mean, he got about 60, 70
really
minutes.
Really pushing the Marlon, not someone I'd considered before this.
Do you know what? I like him. I thought he played very, very well at the weekend. He got 60 minutes and that's his first kind of good chunk of game time for the last few weeks. And I do wonder whether Emery's looking at him and going, well, I'm going to need you in the league over the next couple of game weeks, right? I'm going to need you because you're not playing in the Champions League. And it's just that, you know, the opportunity to go for a player that's just scored for Aston Villa in an informed team, 0.1% as. 0.1%. Yeah. What a differential against Southampton, who we know, alongside Leicester, are the teams to target right now in FPL. There's just the you know, seasoned FPL manager in me cannot overlook that. I'm so tempted to go with a 0.1 differential against Southampton, particularly when I don't necessarily need the kind of minutes guarantee that Rodgers gives you.
Yeah.
Rodgers is the sensible pick. I'm with you, right? You know, most FPL managers out there will go for him, I'm sure. But Rashford, Asensio are in my thinking, and Donyell Marlon at 0.1 and at only 5.3 million. I am considering it, you know. I'm considering it, particularly if I was to downgrade Saar to Marlon. Mm. That would free up a Crystal Palace slot to enable me to go for Glasner.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I am considering it.
The trouble is you're then sort of stuck with Marlon, right? Until potentially the end of the season.
Aware.
and we know transfers are precious. And I think if Villa do go out to PSG, how many starts really are we expecting from Marlon to get between now and the end of the season? I mean, that is already, I mean, the other way of looking at it is similar to what you're talking about with the assistant manager chip, in the sense that maybe you just go for the player who has the highest likelihood of big, big returns when they do get on the pitch. And that would be either Rashford or Asensio for me. So, you know, you could take a punt on Rashford, hope he's going to see, you know, he'll start at least one of the next three games, I imagine, and just hope in that game he goes off, and hope it's Southampton, I think, straight away. But yeah, I think Rodgers is the safer play. I'm not convinced on the Marlon shout, but I want you to do it now.
Shatter my dreams, Az.
I want you to do it now. I think I'd be going for Rodgers if it was me.
Yeah, the safe
and boring.
Yeah, very, very much the pick I expected you to make us. Nottingham Forest, then, from their perspective, Elanga taken off at halftime. Now, we know that Nottingham Forest don't double between now and the end of the season, but they also don't blank. So for those that haven't got the free hit chip left, I certainly am planning to play it in game week 34, because that's going to be very difficult to navigate game week. But Forest are one of those teams that do play. They've got Brentford at home in 34. So there will be a few FPL managers on wildcard last couple of weeks, or even if you're not on wildcard, will have been looking at the Elangas and the Nico Williams. Elanga taken off at halftime. Nuno saying, got to have a scan, but hopefully it's nothing. Can you allay any fears there, as or and or are you looking at Forest players for the foreseeable future?
Well, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? It's particularly because they're still in the FA Cup and they're obviously going to want to go to the final and try and win that. So if there's any doubts around him, he's not going to play, I'd imagine. I don't know if I'd be picking Elanga as well, given that we've got the double game weeks coming up. I don't think he'd be high on my list in terms of a priority. I don't think you need to sell him unless you get Even some news that he's out. So he's a classic, probably don't buy, don't sell. I worry a little bit about Forest. You know, they've got Aina out, Woods out as well. If there's an injury to Elanga, that's three absolutely key men for them now carrying injuries and still quite a few games for them to play and everything like that. So I'm very happy to own Milenkovic. I think if you've got Sells, if you've got Williams, then you hold. I don't think I'd be investing in Forest at the moment and any more players for them. In 34, maybe if you need them to come in when other teams have a blank. But for now, I think we can just wait and see.
Yeah, I think I agree. And I think that you're right. You take one or two of the key cogs out of the Forest system and it's such a finely honed system, such a finely honed team. He's done such a good job there, Nuno Espirito Santo. But if you take one or two key players out, it does have an impact, doesn't it? It does have an impact. We spent quite a bit of time in that game talking about Aston Villa because of the double game week, rightly so. Another team that have got a double game week is Manchester City coming up. I don't know how long you want to take discussing the Manchester derby at the weekend. Not a particularly good game, was it? You know, not the Manchester derbies we're used to seeing of old, I have to say. But City looking a little bit like they're starting to miss Erling Haaland, right? And latest stat that Sky put on the TV, they said this was the third lowest XG that a Manchester City team have ever accumulated under Pep Guardiola. So really struggling in front of goal. Marmoush really not in the game and not having an impact. And maybe they are missing the big Norwegian. That's just now five goals in their last six games for Manchester City. They had 43 shots in the box. So, you know, that stat is kind of ticking over. Although for Manchester City standards, you'd say that's probably quite a low statistic. You'd expect them to have more shots in the box than that over the course of six matches. So five goals in six, low XG. Vardiol with the three bonus points, although he's only had one shot in his last seven matches now. What's going on at City? I've got three of them in preparation for the double game week coming up in 33. But the likes of Foden and, you know, even a little bit of a question mark over Marmoush, now great against Leicester City. But as we saw last night for Newcastle, you know, a lot of players can do very, very well against Leicester City. I'm just starting to worry a little bit that I've got, you know, maybe a bit over-invested in Manchester City ahead of game week 33. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, I think we definitely got pulled in by the doubles for Man City rather than...
I think so.
Necessarily their form this season. But I mean, it's a couple of clean sheets now for them, and you know, there's been some signs that they can do well. I mean, Marmoush was great, like you mentioned, against Leicester. I think the issue with them is the same as it is for our FPL seasons. What's happening? What is going on in midfield? You think about the Man City midfield options of previous years with Sterling, with Yaya Toure, De Bruyne on form, Foden, Gundogan. I just look at this list of midfielders and I just think, you know, Foden and Savinho were tied on 100 points each. Well, Savinho missed out at the weekend. He started the last seven before that. Foden has, what, one goal in his last six or seven games. De Bruyne is off at the end of the season. Gundogan's had a poor year. Doku's in and out of the team. So's Grealish. There's no one for us to consider in that side. And I think that's the issue. When you've got strikers up front and they're trying to get service and they haven't really got anyone who's able to pull the strings like we've been able to see them do in previous years, how are they going to get goals? And that's the issue. I think Marmoush is almost tasked with trying to create something out of nothing half the time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's very good at it. And he's been doing it now for the whole season at two different clubs. But you've got to think eventually that's gonna kind of come down a bit. And yeah, I think two defenders and Marmoush you've got?
No, I've got Diaz and I've got Marmoush and I've got Foden as well.
You've got Foden.
And you know what? Yeah. He's the question mark, isn't he? Because he's bang out of form. And there wasn't much that I remember from the Manchester derby, but there was one chance that fell to him inside the box, I think on his left foot. And it's just kind of hesitated. And the defender did a really good job of coming back and getting the tackle in. But in my head, I was like, the Foden of old, or the Foden that I remember of last season that got the player of the year, he tucks that away, you know, almost every time, or even takes the shot on first time because he's so full of confidence. So yeah, I've got Diaz. I think I'm okay with that. I would have preferred Vardiol, but I couldn't afford Vardiol because I needed the money for the assistant manager.
And for Marmoush.
correct. And for Foden. Do you know what? It was a toss-up on the wildcard between Foden and Savinho. And right now, that's looking a bit of a wash, right? With Savinho missing out of the weekend as well. So yeah, the City midfield is a big question mark. And Foden is just not looking like he's worth the money in FPL right now.
No, I don't blame people for going there. I think with Saka back, I know obviously he's been benched in the last two games, but I'd expect him to get back into the team pretty soon as they ease his minutes back in. I don't really see a place for Foden with Saka there. So I owned him earlier in the season, and he's a tricky one to sell because the fixtures are good for City.
Can't sell him ahead of what he's got.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Palace home double game week.
I know. And we know what he's capable of on his day. I mean, he got 19 points against Ipswich.
I know, right?
In game week 22. So he's obviously still got it. He's an incredible talent, but it's just not quite working for him this season. Again, for me, don't buy, don't sell. Give him a few more weeks, but it is a concern, the fact he, you know, is not starting games, and there's so many midfield options as well in that team, none of which are performing.
No, I agree. All right, well, let's go to the two teams that double in 32 then, Newcastle and Crystal Palace. Let's do Palace first. Sorry to talk about this game because, it's one of those where Brighton really lacking a bit of form, but some challenges now at centre-half for Palace. Gehi was sent off at the end of this game. I think Lacroix went off with what appeared to be a head injury, although we've got to wait for a bit of news on that. Chris Richards, who I think is probably the third or fourth choice centre-half, I think Glasner said, hoping for him to be back in game week 32 after the calf problem that he's had. But yeah, what do you think about Crystal Palace? We'll talk about your boys in a minute, but Crystal Palace are going to be high on radars because of the double-double coming up, the double game week in 32, followed by another double in game week 33. In case you missed it, away to Manchester City and away to Newcastle in game week 32. So yes, it's a double game week, but it's pretty tricky, right? Certainly on paper, despite what we've just said about Manchester City, it is going to be a tricky couple of games for Palace. What do you make of the game? Let's talk about Palace first and some of their challenges defensively, and then we'll talk about the Matetas and the Sars and the Ezes. Mm.
Yeah, well, the problems are at centre-back, aren't they? Like you mentioned, it's going to be a real test for Glasner's three at the back formation.
Because
it doesn't have anyone, really. No natural centre-backs that can really fill in to that, we think. So it'd be interesting to see what he does, whether he moves players out of position, whether he brings some academy players in, potentially, how that kind of looks. Whatever that looks like, you've got to think they're going to struggle. I wasn't a big fan of these games from a defensive point of view anyway. And now with these injuries, it looks even worse. I think the issue with Munoz as well, I mean, 9 attacking returns for him this season. That's second only to Robinson in the league, which is obviously fantastic.
Been so good, hasn't he? Yeah.
But the trouble is with defenders, when they score and don't keep a clean sheet, they don't get bonus. We see that time and time again this year because of the new way the bonus is calculated. So you almost need multiple attacking returns from him to get anything on that front. I mean, I had Eze, for example. I was really happy with him. I benched Sarr. He's a classic player where you think you're going to get loads of points from him because the expected numbers are really, really good, and you watch him and he looks absolutely incredible. And as soon as you bring him in, they all just dry up. No shots, no chances created for him in the side. We're going to want more from him in the double game week for sure. So I'm sat here with Eze, Sarr and Mateta. Very happy owning Mateta, especially now Nketiah's banned as well. There's another player out for them. So I think Mateta is the man. He's a captain option, I think, can rival Isak, potentially, if you are chasing. Because, like you said, Palace, they're not going to keep clean sheets. They're going to have to score some goals, right?
Yeah, I just want to dwell on Sarr for a minute. So when I did my wild card in game week 30, I looked back at the previous six games, so from sort of game week 24 to 30, and he was right up there. You're right. It was a real, analytics pick for me. I looked at all the... I'd watched a little bit, obviously watching a little bit of him, a little bit of Palace. It was a proper nerd pick, no doubt about it. But I'd really pored over all the stats because Sarr versus Eze, because I wanted Munoz, I wanted Mateta, it was a real 50-50 shout. Mm. And in the end, I let the stats get the better of me. I went, well, Ismail, he's outstatting Eze. So he's the one I'm going to go for. But you're right. No returns, no shots, no chances created at the weekend. So maybe he's one of these kind of stats monsters that, just promises to deliver and then maybe doesn't. I don't know. But I'm willing to give him a chance. And of course, I'm not going to necessarily sell him ahead of the double-double, although he probably would be the one out of the three that would make way if I wanted to go for Glasner or my assistant manager. But more in general about Crystal Palace, they created 8 chances at the weekend against Brighton, against your team, but only for a total of 0.48 XG. So what does that tell me? That tells me that they're creating, lots of low XG chances. Yeah. So they really did make the most of what they created against Brighton. And actually, Mateta's goal, if you've seen it, but absolute rocket, wasn't it? What a goal from Jean-Philippe Mateta. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with you on the Mateta rivaling Isak for the captaincy next week. I just think, and we'll talk about Isak and Newcastle in just a second. I think Isak is clear of Mateta, I have to say. But yeah, Sarr, a bit of a concern, but not going to sell him ahead of a double game week. SAM with the two assists. Yeah, well done for picking him.
talk about lucky. Talk about low returns, though. Expected assists of 0.02 for both.
This is it.
Both assists. Yeah.
But that was you're right. That was the tail of the tape. As you know, they really made the most of what they created, Crystal Palace. A real low XG, low XA game. They really were low on the stats, but still managed to pull a win out of somewhere against Brighton. What did you make of your team's performance then? Anything that we should get excited about ahead of Brighton's upcoming run? Leicester City up home next, right?
Well, that's what we get excited about. We get excited about the fact we're playing Leicester next. Although it would be a classic Brighton to end up losing this
Wouldn't it? Or conceding
a couple of goals. I mean, obviously, from a defensive point of view, I am expecting us to keep a clean sheet against Leicester.
You'd hope so. You'd hope so. They had their moments last night, though, Leicester against Newcastle.
Wouldn't surprise me for them
to score again. I'll back you, but you know, maybe back them to get a goal.
Yeah, I mean, we had a very good performance against Southampton. They're a classic team where I thought, you know, when we played Southampton a few weeks ago, I thought, oh, if anyone's going to get a result, it's going to be them against us. And we kind of put them to the sword. It was a really good performance. I'm hoping it's just a nice professional, you know, win here, and we need to get back on track. I think our chances of Champions League now are pretty much over. It was a really crucial week for us. I think there's going to be quite a lot of disappointment in the team that, you know, out of the FA Cup, 0 points against Aston Villa and Palace. That's really, really poor. So yeah, I think we need to get back to winning ways. I'll be bench boosting this week. I've got Verbruggen as my backup goalkeeper. Cool. So he'll be in. I think Estupinan looks really good as well. If you're looking for a defender, he's been talked up by the manager, by Hertzler.
Okay.
He's not really shown up too much with attacking points, but we know what he's capable of, similar to other players that we've talked about. So he'd be the defensive option that I'd go for. It's tougher to really know who to pick if you're looking for someone up top. There's, you know, Pedro missed out.
Yeah.
Potentially Welbeck. I think you'd probably go for Minte if you're looking for a midfielder. Though he's nice and cheap, plays Leicester. We've got some decent games now up until about game week 37. So it's a good time to invest in us in a way, but obviously we haven't got the double game week. So you're probably going to be prioritising other players.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Leicester game looks good, but also in 34, again, we mentioned it before, if you've not got the free hit and you're trying to build a team for 34, West Ham at home for Brighton,
yeah.
Could be worse. Yeah. So again, I'm be free hitting in 34, so I'm not looking at Brighton assets. But you know, if you need them, they're there, I think they're there. Let's segue over to the other team that have got the double in 32, then Newcastle. So we watched them last night. Here's a nice stat for you, as 384,103 managers bought Jacob Murphy in this week. And actually, he produced 13 points in the reverse fixture with Leicester in game week 16. He got two goals and a bonus point. And that was his joint best return of the season until yesterday. It's glorious from my perspective, because I had him in my team. Glorious 16-pointer. Do you know what? When Fabian Schär hit that one from the halfway line, and it's fallen, and the Leicester sit. Oh, honestly, Leicester, they just didn't react, did they at all? And I just thought, go on, Isak, get on the end of it. And it wasn't Isak; it was Murphy that popped up there. You know, so I was just as pleased to see him get the goal. You know, that's 7 goals and 7 assists now for Murphy this season. Not bad for 5.1 million, right? And if he's not in your team, I think there will be a few FPL managers that may be looking enviously over those of us that do have him, and maybe looking at getting him in for next week. What did you make of the game? What do you make of Newcastle's performance? And a word on Alex Isak, because you didn't captain him. He was going into the game with a little bit of potentially a groin issue. He was flagged in FPL. I think Eddie Howe gave us, you know, enough confidence, or certainly gave me enough confidence to captain him. I'm interested in your thoughts in why you didn't, but also, you know, the Isak versus Mateta, we've touched on it a little bit in the previous conversation. Isak versus Mateta for captaincy next week. Are you going to go for Isak? Are you going to go for the Swede? And if you had the triple captain, would you go for him as well?
Yeah, I think on Murphy, just quickly, I mean, what a season he's had. He was popular going into the start of the season because of his price. And he had a good pre-season as well. But I think he was benched in the first game, and obviously that's set the tone for a while. But it's great seeing a player who we've considered to be a bit of a squad player for Newcastle. And they've had a bit of a problem on that right-hand side as well. And haven't really had anyone that's really nailed down that spot. So it's great to see him coming in, and he has been absolutely incredible, like really, really impressive every time I've watched him play. So great to see him stepping up, a bit like Almiron did a few years ago, right?
Yes,
when we kind of written him off and he came in.
Cool, he was a bit of a cult hero in FPL for a few weeks, wasn't he? I remember him.
He was, yeah. So yeah, very pleased to own him. And I nearly went for Gordon over him, tried to be clever, but didn't do it. So I have tried to play a little bit more sensibly over the last few weeks. And it is actually paying off.
That's not like you, Az.
I know. But yeah, I still think Marlon's a bit too far, but we've had to sit with him. On Isak, yeah, I think Isak is by far the best triple captain option this week. You heard Howe's comments. Yes. His interview, he said he's fully fit. There's no worries. He just took him off because the game was won. He'll start both games in the double, I'm sure, as long as he doesn't pick up an injury in the first one. Home games look really good. They're scoring goals. They're full of confidence. Wondered how they would react after obviously winning the cup, whether it'd be a bit of a hangover, but they look great. I think
it's just supercharged them, isn't it?
Yeah, supercharged. It's great when you get to play Leicester with the form they've got, because you can just run a bit riot and play. And it was a good feeling, you know, for the away fans that went. So he's the obvious choice. I think if you've got the triple captain, I think it's the obvious choice as well. I think, you know, what we wanted to see last night was exactly what we got in terms of minutes for him. Obviously, a goal would have been good. And he was snatching at chances a little bit and
he was
frustrated when he came off and all that. But don't worry about that. Just worry about the next two games. I think if you've got that triple captain, it's an easy choice.
Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? And Leicester, for their part, I think we just continue to target them, don't we? They've become the first team in the 100... And, sorry, Leicester fans, they are the first team in the 136-year history of the English league to lose 8 straight home games without scoring. And that's now 14 hours without a league goal. I mean, yeah, you've mentioned Brighton before. They've got... it's Brighton up next for Leicester. The interesting one for me, actually, is game week 33. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Leicester have got Liverpool at the King Power Stadium. And not many of us are going to captain Mo Salah, I would have thought, because Liverpool don't have the double game week and you've got Arsenal and City and others that do. So that will be an interesting conversation. But for now, yeah, Leicester look dead and buried, I'm afraid. And they are definitely a team to target. Let's talk about Arsenal then, another team with a double game week in 33. So again, a team that many of us will be looking towards for our FPL team, particularly with Saka back, you know, again, failed to kind of make really an impact in this game. Couple of blocked efforts from distance, one free kick. That's really all that he could muster in that second half at Goodison. Trossard leading the line for Arsenal on Saturday, Wanyeri and Sterling either side. And then, of course, it was Saka and Martinelli, wasn't it, when Arteta decided to mix it up a little bit. So is the Mourinho dream dead? I mean, he was in at 6.1 million. I thought he'd nail down that number 9 spot. I think I went on Sky Sports News on Saturday and said, yeah, he's a really good pick because he's nailed down that spot. And then Arteta does what Arteta does and proves me wrong, which is why I'm not a Premier League manager.
the only reason, Lee.
That is the only reason. Thoughts on Arsenal then? I've got three in my team, one of which is Gabriel. So that probably needs sorting out in the short to medium term. I've got Raya. I've got Saka. I feel like that's probably all that I want going into game week 32. Brentford at home, and then obviously Ipswich and Palace in the double in game week 33. So we're investing, but I don't think massively investing. They have this massive, massive double header against Real Madrid coming up, haven't they? So what do you think about Arsenal? Thoughts on them?
Tough, very tough again to know who to get. I think similar to what we talked about with Villa, the rotation I think is going to be really key. I think particularly at the back, who's going to start in that? I mean, does Saliba get a rest? Does he keep with Kiwior? Does Timber come back in? Obviously, Ben White's available now as well. There's options that they can move around. Zinchenko hasn't played much, but he could come in as well at left back. I mean, even Tierney got some minutes.
Haven't seen him
for a while. So I think it's tough to know. And also with all these rotation options comes, you know, a less settled defence where conceding goals is potentially more likely. So I think if you've got Raya, if you've got Saliba, obviously you hold those. I've got Gabriel. I don't think I'm going to be moving him to another Arsenal defender.
No, okay. Especially if you've got Raya, I think.
I don't think that the double up is as attractive as it was when I wildcarded even last week, you know, when I had Gabriel and Raya both in. I mean, at least Mourinho played. He played the 90, didn't play in the position where he's getting the attacking returns, but at least he started. I wouldn't be going near Trossard, Maneri. I wouldn't be going near Sterling. I'd only be considering Saka, I think, out of that midfield. So yeah, for me, it's Saka and Raya, and that's probably about it, or potentially Saliba instead of Raya, which is a shame because the double looks good. You know, they've got Ipswich in one of the games. They've got the home game, obviously, against Palace, where we've talked about their defensive problems. If you want to go for a punt on one of them, you know, I don't hate it. It's just tough to know which one to go for. And Saka looks a great option and a potential captain option as well, I think. He's the other one, isn't he, that we can think about next week.
Yeah, I agree. Here's a very selfish question. Sorry to the audience, but selfish question for me. Sitting on Thomas Frank, as assistant manager, given the rotation around the Real Madrid games, as you've rightly mentioned there, with the likes of Tierney, etc., getting games, and Gabriel injured, etc. Do I hold on Thomas Frank and maybe Brentford get a result at Arsenal, and I save myself a transfer? Is Thomas Frank assistant manager with table bonus in game week 32? Is that viable?
Yeah.
Or am I Danielle Marlon? I'm going Danielle Marlon again, aren't I? I'm going off piste.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about it is you save a transfer, right? So you're not having to move Frank out to someone else.
I haven't written it off, I have to say. Yeah. I've thought about it.
I don't know. I would still expect Arsenal to win that game. I think the Chelsea one was a great move. And I think, you know, from what we've seen from Chelsea, we know they're capable of dropping points. Arsenal as well. They've just drawn with Everton, and we've mentioned all the rotation, but I would still think Arsenal have a bit too much for Brentford in that game. I think I'd probably be looking to move it personally, but
it's getting to that stage of the season where I'm Danielle Marlon. I'm sticking with Frank on assistant manager. I want to take those
Marlon
risks.
Marlon and Frank would be, yeah.
Coming on here with you, Az, and you're just sort of like, you know.
I'm so boring today. What is going on?
Danielle Marlon, he's the one.
I need to live a little.
Get him in 0.1. Live a little. We're in game week 32, Az. Come on. Brentford, Chelsea, let's move to them. No win on the road now for Chelsea since game week 15, would you believe, Az? That's 3 draws and 5 defeats. So, you know, the away day hoodoo for Maresca, definitely in play there. Had just 4 shots in the first half, Chelsea, against Brentford, although that did improve 17 in the second half when Jackson came on 45 and Palmer came on 58. Thoughts on the game? Thoughts on Chelsea in particular? Ipswich at home up next, which looks very good in 32. No double in 33. In fact, a tricky looking away game, as Liverpool will tell you, at Craven Cottage against Fulham in 33. So, yeah, for those that have got Palmer, what would you do? That was a surprise benching at the weekend, no?
It was, and a gamble didn't really pay off. I was very surprised by the team selection. You know, I know they've obviously got the Conference League. I didn't think that was such a priority that he would rest key players, you know, Palmer and Jackson, when they haven't exactly been in amazing form going forward. Their defence has looked good though. Just one goal conceded in the last 5 to Arsenal.
Sure enough.
Which is good. You know, if we're bench boosting this week, we can be considering the likes of Cucurella or Colwell or Chalabar, you know, something along that. But like you said, after that, you're then going into 33 with probably a defender you don't really want when there's other teams with better fixtures and a double game week.
Reece James looked good though, Az, right? Played at left back, 3 bonus, 2 big chances created.
He does, but again, I'm just worried about the minutes.
Come on. I keep putting these really nice, juicy FPL tidbits out there, and you just keep shooting me down. Come on.
Yeah, I've got my sensible hat on today for sure. I mean, you can go for Reece James, but I'm just thinking, you know, for the next few weeks, for me, it's all about just bringing in players who are definitely going to start, or at least have very, very high likelihoods of starting.
This is the bench booster FPL mentality, right? I'm not, and you are, and I think we're in a microcosm here of the FPL community, aren't we? You're going sensible because of the bench boost, yeah. And I'm thinking a bit riskier because I'm not, right? This is where we're at.
Well, this is it. And I think that's the difference between the two chips, right? I think with bench boost, you have to play a bit more sensibly because you need to get the minutes from the players. But for assistant manager, you can go for it and try and hit those big hauls. So it puts you in a different mindset potentially going forward. If I knew Reece James was going to start against Ipswich, I think I'd probably bring him in. Let's put it that way. If you think he's going to start and you're looking for an option for 1 week on a bench boost or whatever, I think he's one of the best defenders you can get.
There we go. There we go. That's the Maverick mentality I'm looking for. That's very good.
I'm going to carry it by saying I just don't know if he is going to start. You know, we'll be interesting to see. I mean, Cucurella missed out. Are we expecting Cucurella to miss out again? He's been pretty much ever present for them. You know, you've got to go right down to game week 17 when he missed out. He started pretty much every game for them this season. He's been really impressive as well. So unless they're going to give him another rest, I would expect him to come back in. So I think you're looking at maybe a midfield light spot for James, but they've got so many midfielders as well, yes, to consider. Yeah, it's a gamble. I mean, I think it's down to what happens in the Europa League, right? I think if James doesn't start that game, then I think he's a real option for the weekend. But I think he probably does, and I think he probably misses out of the weekend.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, a few more games left to cover. As let's rattle through these. So Fulham, Liverpool. Liverpool thinking they're cruising to the title this year, but absolutely not, particularly when McAllister scored that goal. As a Liverpool fan, I've watched this team a lot, obviously, over the course of this season. And when Maka scored, you could almost see the team going, okay, there we go, that's another one ticked off. But in this league, in a fixture like Fulham away, you can't defend in the way that Liverpool defended, particularly for that 15-minute period where they conceded the 3 goals. And and their 26 match unbeaten run in the Premier League comes to an end. And in particular, I was super impressed with the way that Muniz took his goal to kind of shrug off Van Dijk the way he did, flick it over the shoulder and then put it through the keeper's legs. Absolutely fantastic goal from Rodrigo Muniz. Mo Salah, though, failed to score in his last four in all competitions. Captained, as I said before at the top of the pod, 5.2 million FPL managers going with Mo Salah captain. What do you think? No Trent for Liverpool. Is that having an impact on Mo? Can we sell him, or is that just too much of a risk? And actually, do we even need to sell him? Because as we mentioned before, the Palmers, the Sakas, even the Haalands, you know, none of these guys are either not around and injured or not performing. So we don't really need to take the money out of Salah and take that risk, do we?
That's the key thing. I think if we had like Son, Foden, Palmer, Saka, De Bruyne, Haaland back, all firing, I think we could sit here and maybe make a case for it. But a lot of those options are not performing as we would like. So do we need to take Salah out? I think there's lots of factors here. They've pretty much already won the league. There is a key injury to Trent, who's such a creative force.
Yes,
Salah's obviously got the contract situation going on. Hasn't affected him so far this season, but you don't know, as it comes, as he's now basically achieved the goals they've set out, and there's no other cups and stuff to play for. Maybe it's becoming a bit more real to him, and his mind is looking elsewhere, or even thinking about what he's going to do. I mean, before the last two games, though, I mean, you just have to look at the returns of points that he got. So, are we expecting just such a sudden switch in a player that's been so clinical and so amazing for us all season? The tonic is Leicester. That's what you need. And that's coming next week. It's coming.
Yeah. I think you'd be mad to sell him ahead of, West Ham at home and then Leicester. Yeah. And then even in 34, again, if you're going to need players for a team that's not got a free hit in 34, Spurs at home, not looking like a too bad a fixture for him either.
Game week 35, you could think about it, I think. They've got Chelsea, Arsenal, maybe. Brighton, Palace. If you're struggling in your leagues, if you need to do something, dramatic to make some ground up, you sell the player that's owned by 72% of the game and hope the player you bring in, massively outperforms him. But next few weeks, easy.
Maybe the league's done by then as well, right?
Well, exactly.
The foot comes off the pedal. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. West Ham, Bournemouth, then Evan Nilsson, 4 goals in 4 starts. And the underlying stats look pretty good for him as well. He's had at least one big chance and at least 3 shots in the box in each of his post-injury starts. So when I was looking at the underlying stats for Bournemouth, they're comfortably in the top half for most of the defensive stats that I could see. So despite, looking a little bit out of form, defensively they look okay, but they rank in the bottom four for headers conceded and set piece chances allowed. So that's definitely a weak point. And West Ham exploited that. Despite not being that creative West Ham in this game against Bournemouth, they really exploited that weakness there. So Evan Nilsson, despite a good performance there, I don't think he or any of the Bournemouth players really are going to be on radar given the lack of double game week and, not looking too hot in terms of form. What do you make of their performance at the weekend?
Yeah, they've been poor for a while now. That's 6 games now without a win for them. Obviously out in the cup too. Talk about Brighton's season petering out. I think the same's happening to Bournemouth. Struggling to get points. They were at one point looking for Champions League football and now they're probably going to settle for a top 10 finish, something like that. Evan Nilsson's been great, continues to score goals. I look at the rest of the midfield though, and at one point we were all considering having, two or maybe even 3 assets from the midfield.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure I'd want to be buying any of those. And I've got Kerkez in defence, and he's been really poor, and he's got 6 assists, which has been great. But if you look at his XGI, his underlying numbers for attacking returns, he's 35th out of defenders. So you look at like Højsen, look at Van Hek, they're actually more likely to get points given the stats. So he's someone that I'm probably looking to sell going forward. He's had a great season, he's looked good, but I think it's now the time to be moving off Bournemouth rather than buying them for sure.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And West Ham, like I said, not very creative, but Jarrod Bowen continues to try and buck that trend. Another 3 shots in the box here. That takes him to 16 in 8 games under Potter. So no midfielder has had more shots in the box in that time. So Jarrod Bowen, really trying to do his best to, carry that West Ham team at the moment in terms of creativity and goal threat. So not too much to discuss, I don't think, on West Ham, given that, again, they don't have the double game week. Let's do the last couple of games as I'll get told off by the other half of FPL family if I do not mention the Spurs win against Southampton this weekend. Saints, unfortunately, now the first team in Premier League history to go down with as many as 7 matches of the season remaining. Even Juric has been sacked, just 108 days in charge. Listen, he took 4 points from a possible 42. Really, really poor. Do you think that they will continue, as Spurs did, do you think they'll continue to be a team that we target? Or maybe now that pressure has been released, maybe with Ivan Juric out the door, Saints might not be a team that we want to target. Do you think they'll have an uptick in form as, or do we just continue to target them?
Well, we said it couldn't get much worse after Martin was sacked, and it did. So I'm hesitant to say it can't get much worse again, because you never really know. The team just obviously isn't good enough to really compete in the league from what we've seen. So definitely a team still to target. I think all three promoted teams are still ones that we're going to be looking at. But they'll be hoping to, you know, at least get past that Derby record of points.
Got to,
and
haven't they?
That
got
is to. The main mission for them now. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they do perform. So yeah, I'll still be picking players. And we mentioned Bowen a minute ago. He plays West Ham, plays Southampton next week. So, you know, decent time to take a punt on him, for example. But yeah, still a team to target. You know, Spurs looked great in the first half and then struggled in the second half. Again, we've seen that a lot this season. Massive game for them against Frankfurt.
Other things to worry about, haven't they? Yeah. Thursday's huge for them. Yeah.
For sure. So again, they're not a team that I'm going to be targeting. Son's been really disappointing, I think, this season.
Yeah, hasn't he? Yeah.
Just 7 goals. His worst return is 10. So he'll be hoping to beat that. But yeah, just a no-go, both teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then the last team, talking about focusing on or targeting the promoted teams, Wolves versus Ipswich is the only other game to discuss. Wolves taken 10 points from a possible 12 since Cunha's been out of the team, by the way. So they've done pretty well without him.
Yeah.
22 shots to Ipswich's 6 in this game and almost 4 times the XG. So it was a real deserved win from Wolves. But that was a big 6-pointer, wasn't it, that game? Wolves now a bit of daylight between them and Ipswich. And I suspect that might be, well, if not the final nail in the coffin for the Tractor Boys. It's definitely looking bleak for them. And as we quite rightly said before, you know, there are teams that we will want to invest in to target Ipswich. Palmer has got, if he starts, we'll have Ipswich coming up next week in game week 32. So that will put a lot of people off selling him. But target Ipswich really, as was the message that I took from this game.
Absolutely. And shout out to Pereira, who's been amazing since he came in. They won the last 3 games
well.
Which is incredible. Kuna's back now. He's down to 5% ownership. So he's a real good differential for us between now and the end of the season.
Mm.
And like you said, target Ipswich. You know, I don't think I want too many Chelsea players for the rest of the season, but I'm definitely looking at them this week. Palmer's a decent captain option, you know, but obviously you've got the doubles as well, but I expect him to come back into the side. I think this, you know, for the rest of the season, it's just going to be targeting teams who play either a double game week or play Ipswich, Southampton and Leicester. And that's going to be what I do for the next, 7 weeks.
Can't tempt you with a Matheus Cunha at home to Spurs when Spurs will have their eye on that second leg against Frankfurt, coming back from suspension with a point to prove. Or is this just one risk too far for this podcast? I've already gone too many Donyell Marlins and too many Frank assistant managers.
I don't hate it, but who are you going to take out of Mateta, Isak and Marmoush? You know, I think that front three,
yeah,
that front three is so strong. You know, if you've got an Evan Nilsson or Pedro or someone like that, maybe, but I still think that front three is who you want to be aiming for. And speaking of transfers and targets and everything else, wow, it's a big couple of weeks coming, obviously back-to-back double game weeks, then a blank, and then we're going to be seeing out the rest of the season. We're going to have to be on top of our game, Lee, if we want to get up those mini leagues.
Yeah, you're going to have to take a few risks, as I've tried to put a few out there for you today, but you're not
you
having
have.
It. You're not having
you
it.
Have. Yeah.
So who better to take you through the chaos of FPL over the next few weeks than Kelly, Jules and Sam? They'll be back on Thursday this week looking at whether the Game Week 31 wildcard was a success for Sam and Kelly. I know that those two played that in particular, so I'm looking forward to seeing their Game Week 31 results, and they'll all be talking revised chip strategies for the weeks ahead.
And if you haven't joined it already, the FPL Pod mini league code is Q7YCO0. Lee, pleasure as always.
Lovely to see you, Az. Good luck next week.
You too.